You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is part 3 of a 6-part series on 1 Corinthians. So this first letter that Paul wrote to the Christians living in Corinth. So keep in mind, around the year 50, that's when Paul was there for a year and a half preaching and teaching. And then about 5 years later in the year 55, that's when he wrote this letter to them. Having heard a number of issues going on within that church, he writes the letter. So with this particular series, we're looking at parts of chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15. We spent a couple weeks in chapter 12, and now we're about ready to get into chapter 13. I want to start off the sermon today with what I'm calling a good, better, best. So it is good when we say the right words. It is better when we not only say the right words, but we follow them with the right actions. But what is best then? It is best when we say the right words, we follow them with the right actions, and both the words and the actions are motivated by true love. That's the direction that we're going in today. Now, as we get into chapter 13, a lot of people look at that chapter and think, that's some chapter that we use at a wedding that's all about the topic of love between a husband and a wife. Well, in fact, it isn't, even though many people think it is. You have to keep in mind with chapter 12, we looked at a lot of things with being in Christ, with being gifted by the Holy Spirit, with being members of the body of Christ. And now Paul is saying the best way that the members of the body of Christ function together is with love. Now, we can take the topic and apply it in other ways too, but as far as the context of the Bible goes, we are focusing on how people function within the body of Christ. Going to our text now, we're actually picking up right at the end of chapter 12, and I have an equation here. The equation is this: actions plus love equals excellence. So at the end of chapter 12, it says, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." So let's review real quick what we did in chapter 12 before we jump into chapter 13. So in chapter 12, we found out that for Christians, they have many blessings. They have the Holy Spirit, they confess Jesus Christ as Lord, they show the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, they have been given a spiritual gift in order to use it for the common good of the body of Christ, and they have been made members of that one body of Christ. So what is the more excellent way then? I've already said it, the more excellent way is when the body of Christ functions motivated by true love. Not just doing it because you have to, but doing it because you want to, and again, doing it out of love. Let's find out a little bit more about this love, but before we get to that, though, we're going to go to another equation here. Here's the equation: amazing minus love equals nothing. So something that's really out there, really truly amazing, if love is not in the equation, really it's nothing. That's a pretty big statement. Let's see what Paul's talking about here as we get into chapter 13. He wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." So you can have a person that is saying all the right things, but if there is not love along with what is being said, the person is just making noise. It's not really beneficial at all. We don't even care to hear it if love is not in the mix. And then Paul goes on and he says, "And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." You might remember in the second part of this series, maybe it was in the first part, but we looked at the gifts of knowledge, faith, and prophecy. I guess that was in the first part now. But we looked at those gifts, so, and anyone who had even a single one of those gifts, wow, amazing. But right here, though, it's getting at this idea of having all of the gifts, which would be like super amazing. But then imagine, though, you have all those gifts, but yet you do not exercise them with love. And when love is missing, the result is nothing. So it's a pretty big thing. But Paul goes even further then, and he says, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So imagine taking all of your stuff, everything, and giving it away. And now all that's left is you. And then you go to someone and say, I'm here to offer myself as a human sacrifice. That would be pretty extraordinary, wouldn't it? Give away all your stuff, then offer your own body to be burned. Paul is saying, for the person who would go that far, if he did so without love, he would profit absolutely nothing. So you can see that love is really important. When love is there, it's a huge thing. It's a wonderful thing. And when love is not there, it's completely worthless. Going further in the text, then, we come to the section that I'm calling What Love Is and What Love Is Not. So we go through that topic in a number of ways here. As we do so, keep in mind that there's only one person that really truly loves in the proper way, and that would be God loving us. So the love of God to us, that's always a perfect love. And we should rejoice in that perfect love. And then we should look at what that means that he loves us and how he does that. And that teaches us then how to love others. Let's go through this definition that we have here then. Love is patient. So what does that mean? It means that love is not demanding, so love is willing to wait. Love is kind. In other words, love does not give evil for evil. Instead, love holds back the evil, and love proceeds with gentleness. Love does not envy. In other words, love is not jealous. Instead, love is content. Contentment is a huge blessing. The Bible says that love does not boast. How could we put that another way? Love does not brag. Instead, love allows others to draw their own conclusions. I don't need to tell them. I don't need to brag about it. I simply show love and let people draw their own conclusions. Love is not arrogant, very similar. So we could say love is not puffed up. Love is not saying, hey, look at me. But rather, love does not need to express its importance. Love simply proceeds in a loving way and lets the rest take care of itself. Love is not rude. In other words, love does not act disgracefully. Instead, love is polite. Love does not insist on its own way. In other words, love does not seek to control another person. Instead, love asks the other person, what do you think? And then based on the response given, love gladly responds to the thoughts of the other person. On that topic, I have a copy here of a paper that I share with couples who are planning to get married here at Bethlehem, and the title of it is Four Words That Will Predict Your Marriage. So I have one copy here. There are other copies in the back, and it's a good one to pick up whether you're a married couple or not. Based on any kind of a relationship, it's good to think about those four words. So without telling them to you, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy in the back. Also, too, if you go online and go to my sermon, which will be up there probably later today, when you get to that part in the sermon, you can simply click on that, and it will take you right over to this page as well. So I encourage you to check it out. Going on with our text, it says, love is not irritable. In other words, love is not short-tempered. Instead, love exercises self-control. Love is not resentful. I thought that was kind of an odd way, the way they translated that right there. Love is not resentful. Going to the Greek, really it says, love does not take into account the evil. Love does not take into account the evil. In other words, love does not take revenge. Instead, what does love do? Love forgives. Isn't that such a wonderful thing? We have done all these things against the Almighty God. We are so blessed that he does not take revenge upon us. But what does he do? He forgives us in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. And then the Bible says, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. In other words, love is not happy when people do wrong things. Instead, love is happy when people follow God's holy word. And then finally, at the end of this section, in verse 7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let's put a little bit more meaning to that. When it says that love bears all things, that means that love accepts all things. Or when it says love believes all things, it means that love is convinced in regard to all things. When it says that love hopes all things, love has an expectation regarding all things. And then when it says that love endures all things, we could say that love stands its ground regarding all things. You can give that a little bit more thought on your own. Going to the end here, we find a comparison being made with love, which is forever, and with other things which are temporary. So in verse 8, the Bible simply says, love never ends. And then it's comparing that to all these temporary things. So it says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. How are prophecies going to pass away? Well, things are prophesied, but once the prophecies are fulfilled, then we don't need them anymore. Then they will pass away. The Bible says, as for tongues, they will cease. Speaking in tongues is something that happened early on in the New Testament era, but once the Bible was written down, the Old Testament and the New, it seems that the speaking in tongues has also passed away. And then it goes on to say, as for knowledge, it will pass away. Why is that? Because when Christ comes, the Bible says that we will fully know. And then the Bible goes on and says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, and that will be when Jesus returns, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And then Paul gives an example here of change in life. He wrote, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So we know about change in life. We've already experienced many, and there are many yet to come for each of us. And then he wrote, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Try to imagine the kind of mirrors they might have had about 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine looking into this very dim mirror and kind of seeing an image of yourself? And then compare that dim image to looking at someone face to face, either with real good eyes or with the blessing of eyeglasses. Quite a difference. So in a sense, what Paul is saying there is that what we know right now is kind of like looking in the dim mirror, But someday, though, just as we can see each other face to face in a very clear manner, someday we're going to know all things in that same manner. And then he wrote, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Right now, we know enough. We know that we have fallen short of God's will of living a perfect life. We know the Bible is God's word. We know that Jesus is God's son. We know that Jesus lived a perfect life in our place. We know that Jesus took our sins and our punishment. We know that heaven is open for us through him. We know that God will provide all of our needs. And we know some other things too. A lot of things we don't know, but we know enough. We know enough to be able to live each day in peace. We know enough to rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know enough that if we lay our heads on our pillows tonight and we die, we know it's going to be okay because we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Let's rejoice in what we know. Finally, the very last verse, it says, "So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Why is that? Why is faith not greater than love? Faith is temporary. Faith is believing in something we cannot see, so we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we see him face to face, then we don't need faith anymore. What about hope? What is hope? Hope is in the yet-to-be-fulfilled promises of God. So the Bible promises that Jesus will come again. So we have hope. We have certainty is what hope means in the Bible. We have certainty that, in fact, he will come again. So we have that hope in that reality. Once he actually comes, we don't need hope anymore because he's already come, because the promise has been fulfilled. So faith is temporary, hope is temporary, but love is now and forever. So that is why love is more important. That is why love is the greatest. Going to our challenge for this week, what I'm asking you to do is to take a look at verses 4 through 7. So that's where we have this definition of basically what love is and what love is not. I've tried to give you a lot of other things to think about. If you get a sermon copy and look right on this side on page 3, you'll see a lot of ways to break that down, a lot of ways to understand it better. But what I'm asking you to do, though, is to take that part of it and to basically write your own definition of what love is based on those verses. And then, knowing better what it is, I'm asking you to take action in order to express love at least one time to some other person based on that definition. That is the challenge. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for loving us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for taking away our sins. Even now, help us to rejoice in your love, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and help us that we might show true love to others in many and various ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.